This episode is brought to you by All Serve Concrete and Construction, serving Summerdale and the South Jersey region for 20 plus years. All Serve Concrete and Construction uses the highest quality materials and tools for their concrete, masonry, and carpentry work. We know that over time, the look and feel of your home will change. The pros at All Serve Concrete and Construction are here to accommodate your changing taste by providing you with top quality home remodeling services. Our professional home remodeler serves all of Summerdale, New Jersey, and the surrounding area. Let us give you the living space you've always dreamed of. Speak with our professional home remodeler today to get started. Give us a call at 856-716-6625 and visit us online at allserveconcreteconstructionnj.com.
Welcome on in to episode 27 of the Elite Sports Debate podcast with Luke, Alex, and AJ Colella. We're going to quickly go over some fills as the pennant race is closing in. Recap week one of the football season and, of course, look at week two and the Eagles' upcoming Monday night football matchup with the Atlanta Falcons. So let's start off with the fills as usual. And you know what? I'm going to hand this one over to you guys because I think I've kind of rested my case with this team. I'm just going to say 30 games over 500 for the first time this season. Guess I could say I told you so, but you know, I don't know. I'll just wait until we are in Red October, I guess.
When do you want that full tank of gas? I know you, Luke.
Yeah, the Braves might not even make the playoffs.
Wow.
Like, what are they, 8 back of us now? I think the Mets are 7 back. And I think the Braves are behind the Mets for that last wild card.
They're one game behind the Mets.
Yeah, Lou, you were right.
Full credit to you.
Yeah,
Obviously, still a little ways to go here, but the Bills reclaimed that top spot in the league. I'm not sure if I like that or not, but they did.
One game ahead of the Dodgers.
One game ahead of the Dodgers, and they are tied with 2 other teams with the best run differential in the league. You guys know the 2 other teams?
Yankees.
And, without looking, Luke.
Arizona.
Nope.
Oh.
Milwaukee Brewers.
Ah.
They're sliding, though, a little bit.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting, though, guys? So the Phils play the Mets in a 3-game series coming up this weekend, right? And they can really separate themselves. I think they even have a magic number at this point.
Phils got
a magic number?
Yeah, I think it's 9.
Is it 9? And after the Mets series, they play Milwaukee.
And then after that, they play the Mets again.
Yes. But if they beat Milwaukee in the first game on Monday, they will win the season series. The Phils will have the tiebreaker over the Brewers in case they need that. So just think about how good this weekend could be for Philly sports. The Eagles could be 2-0. The Phils could have a magic number of around 7 and have home field advantage if they were to tie Milwaukee or play Milwaukee in the playoffs. I mean, Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, this is going to be one happy city.
That's a big if. And Lou, like going back to your very good prediction, I still don't think you're out of the woods yet.
Of what? Winning the division?
Of just not going on another skid.
Well, so like we said, they have the Mets, Brewers, Mets, and then they finish the season against the Cubs and Nats. They should be able to take 4 or 6 there. But no, I think even before that,
these are two tough teams, man.
They're going to beat the Mets either 4 or 5 times.
The Mets are going to be desperate. Mets are going to be desperate. It's going to be a playoff like.
I don't care.
It's going to be a playoff like series.
We're going to win both. We're going to beat them 2 out of 3, and when we go to New York, we'll probably split.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I hope you're right. This division is going to be. It's going to be a really fun series. I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm assuming it's going to be packed.
And I'm going Sunday, AJ.
The division's been over since like June. Let's just be honest there.
No, I'm not necessarily worried about the division.
Yeah, we're worried about the 1 seed, and at least a bye. You at least want a 2 seed.
Yeah, but a couple things. Like I really hope they don't finish as the best team in the league, though.
I think the most important thing is, guys, is the lineup has to stay playing really good baseball and staying hot. I mean, that's the most important thing. You got to go into the playoffs, you know, swinging the bat. If it would be a disaster if, you know, the last 10 games of the season, you know, all of a sudden, here we go again, the same thing that I'm so afraid of happens, that the bats go cold. And then you're headed into the playoffs and there's all kind of question marks. And I know that's negative thinking. And, I, you know, Luke, I know you don't want to go there. I get it. You know,
that's what I mean.
But
out
I'm
of
sorry.
The
I can't get that out of my head only because it's happened so much in history here.
That's what
happened everywhere,
dude,
though.
That's what I mean out
like
of
the
woods.
Best team doesn't always win.
Listen,
what do you not understand about that?
I do understand that, but I also understand that this happens with the Phillies all the
it's
time.
Not just
the,
you
Philly
only
fans
seen
get
it happen with
so
the Phillies because
you're
from Philly. You've only seen it happen with the Phillies because you're around here. How many times have the Dodgers and Braves failed miserably? The Braves last year, 1-9, had the best lineup in baseball. It wasn't even close, and the Phillies took them out in four games. I think it was 3-1. You got to stop saying that, Dad. That... Like, you just got to stop saying that. It doesn't, they just swept the Rays. Like, I don't even know what to say anymore. I just feel like a broken record that this
so
is the best.
So, if it happens, what are you going to say? What are you going to say if
happens?
The Phillies get beat in the first round of the playoffs?
They're going to have a first round bye. So, they're not.
Well, the first series that they play. What if they get beat and they get knocked out and they're not hitting the ball? Nobody gets any clutch hits.
Well, then
they go through a game where they get three hits. You know,
yeah, obviously, but until that happens, I'm not just gonna like, I'm not gonna wait for it to happen.
Well,
like,
I'm not waiting for it to happen either. I'm just nervous about it. That's all. I'm nervous about it.
I don't know. I just not how I'm thinking. They couldn't be in a better spot. Like, every other fan base would want to be us right now. I mean, they're 2 wins away from cashing their win total, which was completely disrespectful to begin with. It's September 12th. They're about to pass that. Yeah. And now they've separated from the Brewers by 4.5 games. So, you know, it's not definite you're going to get a top 2 seed, but with 5 series left and you're 4.5 games up and you play that team, they control their own fate. Like, can't ask them to do much more except handle the business when it comes to them. So,
and they got to be healthy too. Realmuto comes back Friday. Schwarber's going to come back Friday. So, I mean, they're getting healthy and
they still.
And even if not, I mean, how about these bench guys coming up clutch? Some of them. I mean,
the Rays series, they interviewed a different guy every game. All 3 games, there's a different guy. Cal Stevenson, and then it was Weston Wilson, and then it was somebody else
Cody,
the other game.
Cody Clemens.
All 3, like, bench players, Clemens. Too.
Are we worried about Harper's elbow at all? Because he swings so hard, and every time he has that big swing, he's, like, clutching and grimacing his face, and he's holding his elbow, and something's up there.
He should have sat the 1 game a week ago. And then I think he actually had, like, 3 hits that game or whatever, so... I don't know. I mean, obviously Topper knows them the best and stuff. So, and at this time of year, you would think they'd be cautious. So maybe it's really not that big a deal. Like, maybe it's something like that Ohtani's going through, like how he can still bat, but he can't pitch. Like, it's not that big a deal maybe when you're hitting. But like you said, he did grimace the other day again too. And like, I don't know. I just don't like to see that. I'd rather him, I don't know if they're trying to like force it because they play the Mets and Brewers, but you got to think about October, to be honest. Like, you're 8 games ahead in the NL East. You need your best player to be healthy. He hasn't homered in over a month. I know he's hitting doubles and stuff, but obviously something's not right.
Yeah, that's a little worrisome, but I'm ready for Red October. It is going to be fun. I hope to see some bedlam at the bank.
It is bedlam at the bank!
Red October.
Yeah, it's going to be fun baseball.
By the way, the White Sox are 33-114.
And what's the record?
And I think the record was 116 losses. They're going to be the worst.
Unreal. How about Ohtani, guys? Is he going to be the first 50-50 guy baseball history?
He got 45 home runs.
Hey, 48. So he's 48 closing in on 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases, right?
And he's 48 each, yeah. 48
wow,
each.
That's
never
unbelievable.
Happened. That's never happened.
Sheesh. That's crazy.
50-50? No one's ever done that? No.
No. Yeah, he's different.
That's crazy.
He's just different. To me, that tells me that's like crazy because you're hitting hella home runs. And obviously, you can't steal if you hit home runs. That means when he is on base, like all those walks, all those like singles, if he even hits those, he's stealing every time. And like they know it and you just can't stop it because he's that fast. I mean, yeah, Ellie De La Cruz has 64 and Shohei's second with 48. So speed kills. There's a little touch of MLB in September. Playoffs coming in shortly. I still think they should be starting playoffs in September, but whatever. It's literally the change of the whole season. But yeah, let's get into some football now.
Yeah.
So Eagles defeat the Green Bay Packers in Brazil. Some things I like, some things I didn't. Obviously, Hurts made 2 bad mistakes, but the defense also, though, they did bail Hurts out with those 2 field goals, not letting them be touchdowns.
Which hasn't being talked enough about. On the radio, no one's
really talking.
I
think people were being too hard on Hurts, honestly. Like, yes, those were 2 very stupid mistakes, but like, I don't know. That's just him, I think, trying to be like Josh Allen instead of Brock Purdy, which, again, he doesn't need to be that extra. But the pass rush is bad. I mean,
I think you remember AJ?
Listen, yeah. Kirk Cousins is literally going to dot the Eagles up Monday. I think the Eagles can still win. I know I actually lean Falcons on the points, but I think the Eagles should still win. Obviously, they're the much better team, but it's going to be high scoring, I think. Like, the Falcons just had to face TJ Watt, and that's very hard to deal with. The Eagles don't have, their edge rushers are Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham. I mean, the Cowboys have Micah, Niners have Bosa. I know I'm missing one other big guy in the NFC. I can't think of him right now. And then the Eagles have Brandon Graham.
But this is what I was saying, Luke. You know, we had this discussion. We talked about it months ago. I actually remember the episode where I asked AJ flat out, I mean, who's going to sack the quarterback
Parsons?
On this team?
Did you say Parsons, though?
Yeah, I said Parsons and, oh, Aiden Hutchinson. The,
yes,
the Lions,
yes,
Aiden
yes,
Hutchinson.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so go ahead, Dad.
Yeah, so I was just saying, you know, we said months ago, I said to AJ, you know, who's going to get to the passer? And, you know, we had this discussion too, you and I, Luke. I still think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding when I said that Eagles don't have Reddick anymore. Their position is not as good as it was last year. That's the point I was making. And you kept saying, well, they wouldn't have had him anyway because he's holding out and he's not going to play. That wasn't my point I was making.
I know, but your point.
The point was that position took a hit by him not being there. Period.
Huge,
that's it. That's
hit.
All I was saying. And it's only one game. And we should all preface everything we say today, guys, by it's only one game. It's only 1 week because so many fans in football and Eagles fans and fantasy football players, the managers of fantasy football teams, they all overreact. Yeah. It's such an overreaction.
You need patience.
It's
throughout the
one week.
Right.
Nothing you saw in week one is going to stick for the whole entire season, especially the fact that there was no preseason games. It's a joke. So I saw a stat on ESPN, 28 of the 32 teams did not play a starter in preseason. And 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that just wasn't the case, guys. It was so different. We used to have teams where in the first game, nobody played. In the second game, you might see a series, maybe two series. In the third game, the starters would go into the third quarter to give them a little bit of a taste of playing a half, going in the locker room, and coming out in the third quarter. They would play one series in the third quarter and be done. And then in the fourth game, nobody would play at all, of course. And times have changed. And it's ridiculous, the NFL. You know, nobody wants to play any starters. They already got it down to three preseason games. It'll probably go down to two. And in the three games, nobody plays. So now we're coming out in the first week, and even this week, week two, you're going to see some sloppy football. You're going to see some fumbles and bad plays. And
a lot of penalties.
A lot of penalties. And people rip the referees, but sometimes penalties are penalties. I mean, in that Eagles game, the one dude kept lining up a yard and a half off of the line of scrimmage. Yo, bro, you got to have seven guys on the line of scrimmage, man.
Hello.
And he kept getting called flag, flag, flag. You know, that's just mental. It's just, it's no preseason. And we've seen it in week one. We've seen a lot of sloppy football.
I was saying all off season, like, I don't understand the cold turkey. I didn't think they would actually do it. It makes no sense. Why are we thinking about this? Like, a higher ups and all that, like, don't do it. It's common sense. It's literally common sense to just play a series at least.
I know. They're
like,
just so afraid to get their star players
so soft,
hurt and
so
all
soft.
The money that they're paying them. They don't want to get them hurt. And plus, you got the collective bargaining agreement, the NFLPA, the Players Association. They do everything they can to protect the players. They're not allowed to have two-a-day practices anymore like they did back in the day. They're so soft.
So soft.
So soft.
It's embarrassing.
Real quick, guys, to stay on the Eagles' D-line real quick before I forget. How is an aging Brandon Graham playing more snaps than Josh Huff?
Bryce Huff.
Well, thank you.
Honestly, the field had a big part of it.
Does that not speak volumes, though?
I want to get to the field.
Yeah, they were saying, like, Bryce Huff is like, more of a shifty, agile guy, and, like, that field just wasn't playing to his strengths. But, you know, so I think he's going to get more snaps next week, but they'll, like, this dude isn't nothing special.
But
so
they got him. Everybody got all excited. Listen, I'm wrong about a lot of things, fellas. I'm going to tell you how wrong I was.
It was only one game, though, still.
It was only one game. We always have to preface that. And I'm going to tell you how wrong I was so far after 1 week about Saquon. He got more carries than I thought, and we'll get to that. But when I'm right, I'm right. I told you when they got Huff, that dude only played 22% of the snaps when he was on the Jets because he can't stop the run. So he's not going to be out there every down. They're only going to put him out there on third downs, and he's not as good as Reddick. And that position took a hit. And I'm still wondering where the Eagles are going to get these sacks. I mean, it seems like the only way they're going to get sacks is by blitz. If you notice, Vic Fangio, he was dialing up some blitzes, and that's how they're getting to the quarterback when they did. But overall, They're going to be in the bottom third in sacks by the end of the year. There's nowhere to get a pass rush from these guys.
I think Fangio did a good job, though, against the Packers, and I think he's going to do a good job the rest of the season in like knowing they won't be able to get that many sacks, so I think he'll be able to adjust and stop, you know, them in other ways. Like you said, the blitz, just clamping the receivers longer or, you know, whatever. I think he'll just be able to figure out different ways for the Eagles. And I think we've kind of seen that in Brazil. Like, those two red zone stops, just giving up field goals, were huge. You know, the Eagles, you don't need a top 10 defense, as much as defense does win championships, but you just can't be as bad as last year.
Yeah, and while we're on coordinators, how good was Kellen Moore? I mean, how refreshing was it, like, sure, to have a professional calling plays? You know, there's some mistakes made by Jalen Hurts, but it felt very smoothly run. Listen, the QB draw still I'm not a fan of.
Hate it.
You know, dumb screens. It just felt very, it was very refreshing. It was very refreshing.
I don't think there was a play in the game where we said, oh my God, why did he call that? What are they doing? You know, and we did that a lot last year.
Yeah, I mean, after that first drive where Saquon slipped on the first play, so they went three and out, like, the Eagles were clicking, really. They scored, they scored 34.
I thought Hurts, you know, you mentioned Hurts a little bit, Luke. I thought Hurts played okay. He did make some mistakes. That's going to happen. But I'll stick to my guns on this. We're not going to see the 2022 Jalen Hurts ever again. We're just not. And we don't really have. I get it. Eagle fans are saying, and you, Luke, we don't really need that Jalen Hurts, you know. But you don't want the Jalen Hurts from last year either. I mean, in this first game, it was a little bit of a mixed bag. I thought he made some nice throws. That throw to Saquon in the end zone. Yeah. I mean, perfect. He dropped the dime right there. It was great. You know, but bad decision making. There was guys he missed that were wide open. Mm. You know, the interceptions, he fumbled also. So, you know, some things to clean up in week one.
He just needs to take what the defense gives him, not too much. Like, you have all the weapons around you. Like, you don't need to be the hero. Like, you just don't. Yeah.
Also, obviously, Juergens, too, is a big difference, not having Kelsey with the fumbles.
That's another thing I said. Come on, guys. You guys tell me so quick when I'm wrong about stuff.
But listen, it's going to take him some time.
It's going to take a whole season. He's not going to be Kelsey probably for 2 years, at least, if he even gets to that level.
Did you guys notice when he's in shotgun, Jalen Hurts, he's more taller now? Because I guess Juergens, like, he used to always crouch down. I remember him and Kelsey talking about it on their podcast, the Kelsey podcast, that Kelsey does it so quick that it's low. And, you know, Jalen has to be crouched. Did you guys notice he was obviously more upright?
And I think they took more snaps under center more than they did all of last year, right? Yeah. Hurts was behind center quite a few.
Yeah, I think they were getting away from the RPO a little bit, which I think the whole NFL just kind of caught up to, so... I like that.
What's annoying, though, on those, Luke, you know, he's faking it to Barkley and he's keeping, like, give Barkley the ball, man. What are you doing?
There's no need to, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
You don't need to run with your quarterback.
Also, it looks like the QB sneak isn't the same.
Step, too. I mean, he's not nearly as fast as he used to be.
I agree.
I still want to see how he looks this game.
That might have had something.
Because apparently he's looked faster this offseason. Like he looked a lot better.
It's like he was running on eggshells a little bit.
I want to see him one more time. I don't want to jump to conclusions about him losing a step yet.
He definitely did last year because his knee was obviously banged up.
But this game, he has the excuse to the field.
Yeah.
But if he looks like that again next week, then I would agree.
Maybe that's why they were running those draws, because they know he got that step back, but obviously not with that field.
Yeah. Even the QB sneaks, though, Dad. Even the QB sneaks going back to Juergens.
You don't need to run with them. You're just putting your quarterback in harm's way. Like, if you want to do it once in a while on, like, maybe a fourth and goal, like, as a trick play, sure.
I've been saying this for 3 years. Dude, I've been saying this. It drives me nuts. Like, and we talked about Lamar Jackson last week, and it's the same thing. Like, I know he's valuable because of his running, but why do you want a quarterback and put yourself in harm's way?
I disagree. I was going to say, Hurts isn't Lamar or Josh Allen. Those are the only two quarterbacks that should have design runs. Not Jalen Hurts. Lamar or Josh Allen, that is it.
Why? In 2022, Jalen was pretty fast and good when he was running the ball, Luke. He was like a running back.
You were just saying.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying you're comparing them. I think he's right there with Lamar running the ball and Josh Allen running the ball. In 2022, he was.
I just don't think he, like, needs to be, though.
Well,
like,
I don't think so either.
Josh Allen and, Lamar has Derrick Henry, but, like, Lamar is that offense. Josh Allen is that offense. Hurts really isn't the offense. Like, it's kind of way more well-rounded. You know what I mean? Hurts might be the fifth best player on offense, to be honest.
It's a different offense. I get it. It's a different offense.
Exactly.
I get it. So, I don't think Lamar is ever going to win a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I don't
think Josh Allen will either,
Yeah. You are listening to the Elite Sports Debate Podcast with Luke, Alex, and AJ. Let's talk about the field, guys. So the NFL, man. So first of all, last week we were talking about the colors. So it turns out the Packers were green. So I didn't see that coming. Did you guys read that anywhere before the game? I thought it was like a no-no about the green, and then I see the Packers wearing green. So
did I look that up or no?
I didn't hear any bad stories. I didn't hear about anybody getting killed or shot, so that's a good thing. You know, so maybe I'll give the NFL a little bit of slack on that, but then they made up for it. How do you send two NFL teams to play in this stadium on that turf? That's a disgrace.
Apparently.
With all the money these guys make, somebody could have got really seriously hurt playing on that turf. That was bad.
Apparently, it was the type of grass. And I heard them say on the radio, like, you know, the sun was shining on it for a little bit, but then, like, it wasn't for a while because the clouds or whatever. So the grass got misty during the game or something. I think it was during, yeah, it was during warmups. The sun didn't come out at all or something. So it got misty. I don't know. That's what they said, but yeah, they didn't care. They just wanted money. They're just trying to grow the game as big as possible. It's a joke. It's all about money.
So I just glanced down at my notes. Two things I want to mention. When we were talking about Hurts, I forgot to mention this earlier. I was cracking up. When Hurts threw that first interception, how far into the game was that, Luke? Was that the first drive?
I think the second drive.
Second drive. And I popped in my head. Oh my God. And they were talking about this training camp record of all these completions without an interception.
Yeah, that's what Elliot gets,
what
bro.
What a joke.
That's on Elliot.
What a joke.
That's on Elliot.
So I was laughing at my own self on that one.
He threw more picks in week one than he has all training camp.
This just shows you how meaningless that stat is. Like, to put that out is embarrassing.
Bozo,
like,
dude.
It's training camp, dude. Come on.
He
does it as a joke,
He was serious. No, you can't be putting stats out there on training camp.
I can't stand it, dude.
Oh, my God. And I want to be crystal clear with the Saquon thing. So Saquon had 24 carries.
26. Oh, 26 touches.
26 touches. He only had two completions, so... That was a little down. I think people thought he would touch the ball a little bit more out of the backfield, catch passes.
He doesn't really need to. Like, Goddard didn't do much either. Like, they have so many weapons.
It was a good sign, I think, for Eagle fans. And we talked about this a lot, Luke. And I always said what was my comeback was always that I want to see it. Mm-hmm. I want to see it. I hear everybody say that, oh, Saquon's going to get this and get that. I want to see it. And again, it's only week one, but in week one, they used him. It was nice. I mean, he was the player of the week, right?
Again, though, it's not like, not only is Saquon obviously, you know, has the capability and skill that he has, but it's also the fact, and I think the Eagles do take this into accountability, their defense is so weak that they need to run it and milk the clock. That's why I've been saying, I think Saquon, I think he could win Offensive Player of the Year, honestly. And I think I said that before the season started. At least I hope I did because I wanted to say that, but it's just hard for a running back to do that, but
again, it's only week one.
Yeah, obviously only week one. But that's why I kept saying he's not going to do this every week, rush for 100 and whatnot, but I think he will touch the ball 20 times a game.
We'll see.
Like, it just makes sense.
The one game, and I hope it's not this week, but the one game that Kellen Moore comes out and throws the ball 45 times.
It's coming, but...
You know what I mean?
But there's 17 games, like 15 of them, he's got to be touching it 20 times.
And one other note, that fatty that I always talk about in the middle of the field. So he played 32 snaps. And in the fourth quarter, he was so out of gas. I mean, this dude
He's just too big. I know he was like 340 coming out of Georgia, which is massive. I don't know what he is now.
He's too big for the NFL. You can't.
Too big. What is he? He's probably 320 though now. I think he slimmed down a little
bit. They were always talking about Luka, how fast he is, because he ran the 40-yard dash in.
He ran a faster 440 than Mahomes, I believe. What I heard.
I don't know if he ran a 4.340, but he was pretty fast running the 40-yard dash. But my point is, when you're in the NFL and you play the defensive line, fast is one thing. Like, once he gets going, he's fast.
Yeah.
You got to be quick, and you have to have quick feet to face these offensive linemen in the NFL. It's not the same as in college. You have to be quick, not fast, you know? And he's just not, you know?
Yeah, at least, what was his name? Zach Vaughn, right?
Vaughn, isn't it?
Vaughn, yeah. He looks really good, at least. 15 tackles. I think he had their Eagles only two sacks, both their sacks in Brazil. So Yeah, I mean, you know, their defense is definitely a work in progress, so...
Yeah, I thought the linebacker play was poor. I thought guys were wide open in the secondary. I mean, you
No pass rush.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be... You know, at least all you need is, like, that big one or two stops just to keep your offense in the game. Let Hurts take you down the field and win the game. That's all you really need. They're not going to hold anybody to, like, 10 points, let's be honest. So
right, we'll get it into Week 2 Eagles in a little bit when they play the Falcons, and we'll talk about that game, but... What about around the NFL, guys? Anything else pop out at you? Any other games that you guys want to talk about?
It sucks doing it this late after week one, but because it's kind of old news now. But, I mean, obviously the Tyreek situation happened. But as far as gameplay, you know, obviously upset of the week was the Patriots, which good call on Dad with that, taking the points there as his bet of the day, and they won outright. So I'm already out with Survivor.
A lot of people are crazy. Cincinnati.
Taking the Vikings, but...
Well, it's amazing because, you know, we were talking about it before the podcast started that Cincinnati, I think I saw the record for Joe Burrow and the Bengals are something like 1-8 in the first two games of the season for the last couple of years. So they just traditionally are getting off the bad starts, and they did it again by losing to the Patriots. And guess what? They play Kansas City this week. So. Yeah. Very interesting there what's going to happen. They're going to start off 0-2, or they're going to get it together and upset the Chiefs. So that's going to be cool to watch.
And how about real quick, though, two games that came to mind. The Bears, oh my God, they got so bailed out. Caleb Williams had like 90 yards, and they had, what, two special teams touchdowns. Titans blew a 17-0 lead.
One special teams, I think, one defense.
Oh, yeah, one was a pick six, and I think, was it two special teams and then one pick six? Something like that.
No, the Bears had a blocked punt return for a touchdown. They had a pick six, and the Bears' offense managed three field goals, and Chicago won the game 24-17.
Yeah, so Caleb Williams did absolutely nothing, though.
And that's the thing, you know, we talked about how there's no preseason games, and all the teams kind of struggled, and it was sloppy football around the NFL, right? But another really good point, though, the three rookie quarterbacks that played, Caleb Williams was one. Jaden Daniels.
Bo Nix.
And Bo Nix, right? They all look bad. I mean, Caleb Williams threw for 93 yards for Chicago. Jaden Daniels threw for 184, but he ran the ball 16 times out of sheer panic. And Bo Nix threw for 138 yards. And it was interesting because I had listened to Tom Brady, an article I was reading, and then I saw the clip on it. I think it came across TikTok. And they were interviewing Tom Brady. And he talked about this, and he said, you know, back in my day, when you're a rookie quarterback, you got to sit on the sidelines for a year. You got to learn what's going on in the NFL, and you got to hold that clipboard, and you got to watch the defenses, and you got to watch game film, and you got to learn. You know, these guys are being thrown right in, you know, as rookies, and it's incredibly difficult when you're doing that as a rookie. It's incredibly difficult. You're going to fail more times than not. And this is why we were so down on Caleb Williams. I mean, I really think he's going to be kind of a bust, but it's way early to say that. You know, throwing him out there to the Wolves as a rookie, I mean, these guys are just going to struggle for a while.
Yeah, I said in the offseason that I think the best quarterback in that draft isn't even a starter. You know, and that's Michael Penix, and him being behind Cousins is only going to benefit him. You know, I think Cousins, honestly, oh no, they gave him a 4-year deal, but who knows what could happen if he gets hurt or whatever. You know, Penix, if he comes in next year, he's in a better spot already than the other guys, I believe. So even though they're already getting their like feet wet, if you want to say right now, but
yeah, Tom Brady was saying how when you go up to the line of scrimmage, you have a play called, and you know from practice that play was called on a certain defensive look. And that coach called the play because how the defense is. If you go up to that line of scrimmage and that defense is different, you have to be able to call an audible there and change the play. If they're covering the deep ball and you're calling a deep ball, Tom Brady would go to the line and change it. It would either be a run or a short, quick pass. Yeah. These guys are just not capable of doing that.
They don't know.
You know
they don't.
Just not.
Yeah, they're not able to tell yet, like, who's coming, who's bluffing. How are they playing zone, man? Like, these are the things they got to figure out. And the NFL is not college football, so.
If you watched any of that Washington game, Jaden Daniels was literally dropping back. He would barely look up and tuck the ball and run. He has no second read, nothing. Like, it's just, the game is way too fast for these guys, you know? So,
again, week one.
Yeah.
It's week one.
It's week one. And they're rookies, though,
and,
you know?
You know, yeah. One rookie that comes to mind that didn't do that and is somewhat successful is Kyler Murray. right? He didn't sit behind anyone. He kind of jumped right in. And I'd say he's good.
Kyler Murray's interesting story behind that, AJ. There was a story a few years ago when he either was hurt or they benched him for a little bit for playing poor. And
video games?
He was playing video games instead of reading the playbook. So here's a guy that isn't doing the work off the field.
Have you ever seen him?
That's a little different.
When Call of Duty comes out in like early Octobers, every year his numbers significantly drop. It was hilarious. It came out like a year or two ago.
That's crazy.
It was so funny.
That's crazy.
My point is, I just think it's a different generation. I think, I believe in the Tom Brady way that you need to sit a year. Like, look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was like that behind Favre, but.
All those QBs, AJ, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Dak sat behind Romo. Steve Young sat behind Joe Montana for years. Like, you know.
Like, I don't think Lamar, did Lamar sit?
No, Lamar stepped in as a starter in 2018.
Ooh, you know who's another good
one? I
don't
think he
did. You know who's a great one? Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for, I think, a year or two, I believe.
Yeah, he was also like a late-ass round pick.
I don't think anybody knew.
He went to, like, Texas Tech.
Yeah, nobody knew
I think Andy
was going to be that good.
Andy? No. Obviously, Andy Reid didn't draft him.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he did. So, a couple other quick games I want to ask you guys about. How about the Detroit Lions-LA Rams game? It was the first game of the season that went in overtime.
Great game.
And, yeah, that was a really good game. And I know you guys are all over Detroit. I like the Rams. I had picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl, didn't I? Where I picked them to go to the NFC Championship game.
I know you
picked
them.
Yeah. They look good, the Rams.
I think I picked them to go to the NFC Championship game, but although I heard that Puka Nacua got hurt. Yeah, I heard Puka Nacua's hurt for week two, so we'll see how they respond there. And then the other game I wanted to mention, the 49ers and the Jets game on Monday night.
Boring.
Yeah, it was boring. Aaron Rodgers, he was a little rusty again, you know, even though he's a veteran. He's coming off that injury. He didn't play last year at all. He looked a little rusty to me, guys. He a little rusty.
I mean, which is kind of expected. I mean, the second drive of the game, they went right down the field. Garrett Wilson caught like all four balls. But then the Niners just shut him down.
Their defense is good, the Niners.
You think Robert Saleh is like, is he good enough coach to, like, is he going to hold them back? Like, what? Their defense looked horrible. And their defense was supposed to be really good.
Sauce Gardner got hurt.
Well, no, he got benched. He got benched.
I thought he was hurt.
No, he wasn't hurt.
Wow.
They said
on the broadcast.
That was because he couldn't stop the run. I was so confused. I had the Jets in that game. I was looking on Twitter.
Wow.
People were saying he's perfectly healthy. He's just standing on the sideline. And then he came back in a few plays later. I think he just got benched. I think he was missing tackles or something.
Hassan Reddick didn't play because he's holding out. So that's another piece of the puzzle that the Jets were missing on defense.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't know how good of a coach he is, Luke. I really don't.
Yeah, I guess, you know, time will tell. But
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to take over the offense. You know, give him a few games, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be the coach/player of the New York Jets. He's just going to take that offense over,
Salah's more of a defensive guy anyway, but speaking of Hassan Reddick, should Howie give the Jets a ring? Bring homeboy home or what?
For sure, but... You know, is this guy a problem, though? Is this guy a little bit of a headache? So I think you got to weigh the options there, you know? I mean, he held out and refused to stay with the Eagles, and I don't even know if they made him an offer. I forget how that all went down. But you get traded to a brand-new team, and you don't even play one down, and you're still asking for more. I mean, it sounds like a little bit of a headache.
Yeah,
so
I heard there's bad blood now between him and the Jets, so I don't think he's going to play for him.
So now they're going to trade him to someone else?
Yeah, unless the Eagles take him back, which
take less money.
Yeah, you'd definitely help the Eagles, but you know, if it's like a cancer in the locker room, then you don't want to deal with that.
Can we talk a little bit about the Cowboys and the Browns?
Yeah,
yeah,
they look good. Which before you start that, I want to touch on. I've been saying on this podcast, I'm thinking this is Dak's last year in Dallas. I didn't think they were going to sign him. Did you?
So no,
I had no idea. That was out of the blue.
It did surprise me. But at the same time, when you look back at how Jerry Jones operates, this is what he does. He waits till the last minute. He's done this for years and years, going all the way back to the 90s with Emmitt Smith. He always waits till the last minute to do this kind of stuff. So he got it done. I was a little surprised that they did it. I thought for sure they were going to let the season ride. But you know what? I looked at the details of the contract, and everybody was blowing up my phone that they signed Dak. And, you know, that's great for Eagle fans because we want Dak to be the quarterback because he chokes and this and that. But if you really look at the contract, it's really not as bad. It looks bad on the surface because he's the highest paid, blah, blah, blah. But the way Jerry Jones did it, he was really strategic. He really spread it out. And after two seasons, there's options there. They could get rid of him after two seasons. They'll take a little bit of a salary cap hit, but they could still get rid of Dak after two seasons. And the way that it's spread out, it's not that bad of a deal with the cap. Like, Jerry Jones was strategic. I think Dak actually took less on the front end, so the Cowboys have some breathing room here with the money. So it's really not that bad of a contract. It just seems like it on the surface, because everybody equates being the best paid or the highest paid to being the best quarterback. Like, how's he making more money than Patrick Mahomes? I get it. That sounds bad, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way the NFL is. Like, as soon as Patrick Mahomes signs a new deal, he will be back as the top paid quarterback ever. And then after him, somebody else is going to sign to go a little bit higher. That's just the way it happens
in
the NFL.
Keep getting higher.
Just because Dak is making the most right now at this moment, it certainly doesn't mean he's the best quarterback in the NFL, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's honestly stupid. I don't know. I hate the money thing. It's ridiculous. Like, it's sooner, like, there's going to be, I mean, Daniel Jones makes $40 million a year.
The money in sports doing? Is so what out of control. Like, it really
you
is.
Could be feeding, you could be feeding generational families in Africa with that money. Instead, you're giving that bozo $40 million. Like, it just literally blows my mind. Like, it's ridiculous. But
with that being said, don't be surprised if Daniel Jones has a good game against the Commanders this week.
Because I really want to bet the Commanders.
And Neighbors has a good matchup.
I thought the Commanders were going to take this huge jump this year. Well, I know it's only week one, but like...
We talked about this a couple pods ago. I said they're probably going to be one of those bottom five teams, and you guys were like, oh, no.
No, I mean...
The Commanders are going to be good this year.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be bottom five. I said they'd win seven or eight
games.
Again,
it's game one. But they didn't look great.
Yeah, rookie quarterback, too. He was scared to throw the ball.
He was.
I mean, he literally took the snap. He didn't even look at it. He just ran. Like, he's just
I mean, dude, their coach is Dan Quinn. Like, that team stinks, dude. That team blows.
But, yeah, I think the Giants actually...
I just like fading the Giants. Like, the Giants might win two games. So, like, it's not even me taking the Commanders. It's me fading the Giants. Like, how I did last week taking the Vikings. Like, the fact that was a pick 'em was absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the week to do that, Luke.
I know, but I don't like
any other... That's one of your picks when we do your picks. I might go against you right there.
So, like, this tournament I'm doing on Twitter, you have to have five picks, which I don't like. So I went 3-2 last week. So I'm in, like, the top six right now out of, like, 35. But this week, it's going to be hard because I'm going to take the Bengals.
Go ahead and do the picks right now, and then we'll talk about week two after we do your picks, okay? All right, it's time for Luke's podcast picks.
So, yeah, Bengals plus six against the Chiefs in KC. Way too many points. I mean, this is obviously just because the Bengals lost to the Patriots. You know, if the Bengals beat the Patriots last week, the spread's probably three, to be honest. But it's six. You're giving me 6 points for Joe Burrow, and, like, he kind of has Mahomes' number, especially in Kansas City. Everyone's going to have the Chiefs in their parlays as, like, an easy no shot. I think the Bengals win this outright.
I would feel a lot better about the Bengals, Luke, if I knew that, like, Higgins was coming back.
I think Higgins is out, to be honest. He's projected out again. Zero again on my team.
Is Chase practicing?
He should be playing, yeah.
I mean, they still didn't sign him.
I mean, I think if they were missing Higgins and Chase, I think the spread would be bigger than six, so... I would assume Chase is playing.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'll take the six there with the Bengals. Really think they can win that outright. I'll take the six.
All right.
So
pick number three?
Going back to the first one real quick. I guess I'm going to take the Commanders. I mean, I like the Jets, but I'm not laying 4 points if you want to take an alternate 2.5. But yeah, I'll take the Commanders. I took them last week against the Bucks, to be honest. Didn't really go well. I'm just going to be fading the Giants all season. I know it's a divisional game. You know, the Commanders are probably going to split with them. So I'm going to take a hitch here and say they'll beat them at home in their home opener. I don't love it, but it's making the card. So third bet is probably my favorite one. Falcons, Eagles over 47. I lean Falcons plus 6.5 too, but I think this is another where people just throw the Eagles in their parlays. You know, the Falcons looked atrocious last week. Kirk Cousins couldn't really move. They scored 10 points at home. That's exactly why I like it. You got to go against the grain. You know, people go by what they just saw. I think the Falcons offense is much better than what I seen last week with the new coach. You know, Bijan is going to, I think, light up the Eagles this week. And just Kirk Cousins overall, I said it earlier, he might throw for 300. This Eagles defense is really bad, but the Eagles should be able to score points too. So I could see this game being like 31-27 primetime Monday night. So which one are you guys fading?
I'm going to fade your Washington pick over the Giants. I'm going to go the Giants again. I had them last week and lost, but I'm going to stick with them this week.
Riding Danny Dimes again?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, poor my boy Malik Nabers, man.
AJ, I think I'm going to go with you on that one. I think I am going to also fade that game. You know, I just said a few minutes ago when Luke was doing his little analysis there that I think that Danny Dimes is actually going to have a good game against that pathetic Commanders defense. And I think Nabers, now I did see him on the injury report. He did pop up on the injury report, but I think he's going to play. This is a first game for the rookie that he can bust out on against that Washington secondary. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Giants with you, AJ.
All right, so just a little bonus. I got a can't-lose parlay here for week two.
Let's hear it. I'm going to give you my pick in week two. Cool. Go ahead.
I don't know how this parlay loses, genuinely. First leg, 49ers at Minnesota, right? So they played each other last year, and it was in Minnesota, too, and the Niners actually lost. I like the little revenge factor there. You know, the spread's only 5.5. I think that's due to the Vikings beating up on the Giants. And I think McCaffrey's obviously might be out again, but I don't think it's going to matter. Yeah, if the Vikings go 2-0, I don't see that at all. No chance. So Niners, leg one. Second leg, Ravens at home against the Raiders. Ravens aren't going 0-2. The Raiders are one of the worst teams in football, so the Ravens at home are going to destroy them, I would assume, or at least definitely win. And then third leg, I think this is the Sunday night game, Texans against the Bears. If Caleb Williams goes into Houston, beats CJ Stroud, goes 2-0, I'll fill up both your guys' tanks. So Niners, Ravens, Texans. Texans are also at home against the Bears. The Bears shouldn't have even won last week, so.
I don't know. That sounds too easy.
I mean,
it sounds too easy.
But
Dad,
see, I could add another leg, though. I was thinking about adding the Lions against the Bucks, but, you know, nah, I don't. The Lions, I think, are going to win that, but these other three I just like more. I'm assuming they're the three biggest favorites on the board, but.
Is that the Ravens minus -9?
Yeah.
You're laying that many points?
No. These are all money line.
Oh, you're doing money line.
Yeah. Money line parlay. Niners, Ravens, Texans. It's probably going to be about plus 100.
Okay. I have a pick for actually Thursday's game. So by the time the podcast gets produced here, the game will be over, but I'm going to go ahead and give my pick for Thursday night's game anyway. It's Buffalo at Miami. I really like the Bills in this game.
I do too.
The Bills have their number. They swept Miami last year, and one of the games they destroyed them. They blew them right off the field. The score was something like 38-20. They seem to have the Dolphins' number. They know how to cover Tyreek and keep him contained. And I really like the way Josh Allen looked last week. He spread the ball. He doesn't have a star receiver. There's no Stephon Diggs, but he spread the ball out to a bunch of different guys. And on top of that, James Cook can have a nice game. They're going to run the ball. Miami is very beatable against a run. I like the Bills in that game on Thursday Night Football, guys.
I don't really like a side in this one, but I like James Cook to score. He didn't last week, obviously starting running back. You know, I think this game might kind of go under, but I think the Bills are going to run a little bit, try to get Cook going, maybe throw him a few passes. Pretty good value. It's like plus 175. So
that's a gutsy pick, Luke. You know why? Because even though, you know, James Cook is going to be able to run the football, he's so good in between the 20s.
Yeah.
When they get in the red
zone, Josh Allen
is their back that they go with. So it's really, that's a gutsy pick.
Honestly,
to get him to
I'm
score.
Just, yeah. I did think of that. I'm honestly hoping that he just like rips one off, like or a screen off
run,
from like the 40
or
something. And I think Josh Allen scored twice last week. So you really don't want to put him in arm's way that often this early into the season, especially like he's literally their whole offense. If he goes down, I mean, they are done. I mean, they're done with no receivers and stuff. So no, they need Josh Allen. James Cook should be seeing a lot of the ball tonight.
So my one pick for Sunday that I really like, I got that one right last week. So I'm off to a 1-0 flying start. I took New England getting the points and they end up winning that game outright, as you mentioned, Luke. I didn't expect them to actually win the game. I really didn't.
I mean, the Bengals did everything in their power to lose that game too. So
I was happy to take that many points though. So that was a nice W. For this week on Sunday, I'm with you on one of your games that you picked here, except I'm going to actually lay the points with Houston. That Sunday night game, that's home. Caleb Williams is the quarterback for the Bears, and we just talked about him being a rookie. The line 6.5. I can kind of see the Bears getting a backdoor cover and just ruining, because it looks too easy.
Yeah, it does.
Houston's not losing this football game, but I could see a backdoor cover. I could see, you know, I could see Houston being up 13 in the fourth quarter, and then they go and prevent, and the Bears score a touchdown, and they lose by 6. And that covers the spread for them, you know.
That's why I usually never lay points. Like I said, even with the Jets, like They're minus four. Like, if I were to lay that, I would just alternate it to 2.5. Yeah, that's why I'm just taking that parlay there. I think it's pretty safe. I mean, Baltimore and Houston are 100% not losing. The Niners, I was stuck between them and the Lions. Like, I don't know. I like them a little bit more just because they're a revenge factor from last year. I know, like, it's a different season, but they're better than the Vikings. Like I don't see the Vikings going 2-0, to be honest.
Oh, they're totally better than the Vikings, but I wouldn't be surprised if that game is a little closer and the Vikings are a little bit better than what we saw. And I know when we were doing our predictions last week, AJ had said it when we talked about that division. You know, AJ had said that might be one of the tougher divisions in the NFL. Yeah. You know, the Vikings, you know, they might finish fourth in that division, but I could see them being a little bit of a feisty team.
Yeah, honestly, for sure. They might win 8-9 games. You know, I mean, the NFC, if it's as weak as it's going to be too, like Sam Darnold, he's really not that bad.
Yeah, he's not terrible. He's and offensively, they have some talent.
I really don't think the NFC is as weak as you're saying also, though. I
mean, we'll see as the season goes along. Like,
if the Rams are as good, you know, as they can be.
The Packers, the Lions, the
Cardinals,
Cowboys,
are
Niners.
Decent. You know,
it's a pretty.
So obviously, you got Eagles, Cowboys, Lions, Niners, but I mean, like, after that.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Don't sleep on these teams like the Vikings.
Yeah, maybe the Seahawks are going to be decent. Who knows? They got the Patriots this week, so they could be 2-0. Long season, only on week two.
All right, our week two picks are in. Looking ahead to week two for the Philadelphia Eagles. So they have a game against the Atlanta Falcons, right? So they got Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins didn't look so great last week as far as his mobility. I think coming off of that Achilles, it affected him, obviously, going into this season. And again, week one, I know, but it didn't seem like he was moving around right. I don't know. And Luke, you made a good point because the Eagles don't have a good pass rush. He could be sitting there just hitting guys open all day long.
Yeah, he's not gonna have to move much, honestly.
Yeah, so,
like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons got ball first and went up 7-0, to be honest. I'm preparing for a hard-fought game. Like, this isn't going to be easy at all. Like,
might see a big dose of Bijan, too.
I hope I do. He's in one of my leagues, so.
How do we do in fantasy football? Let's just talk about fantasy before we get out of here, guys. So I had a really good week. I won in both of my leagues. I'm off to a 1-0 start in both leagues. Both my teams won. I won some good bets on Sunday. You know, yeah, I'm off to a good start.
I am in three leagues. I'm never going to talk about the two on here, but my main league probably had the best pick in the draft, that picking Cooper Kupp in the third round. So I'd like to pat myself on the back for that one. But I had a good week, and I won one. And how we do it is you win your matchup. There's 12 teams. If you come top six, points four, you get another win or loss.
So each week is two games.
Yeah.
I remember that from last year.
So 2-0 and looking pretty good.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp is a thing still, guys. Isn't that funny?
Dude,
you're doing the fantasy draft and Puka Nacua was higher than Cooper Kupp on every board that I saw.
Cooper Kupp was low.
He was such
I said this to Luke when I drafted this.
I was saying it all season. The value on him is like, I wasn't touching Puka Nacua with a 10-foot pole.
I looked at Luke. I was like, dude, I see this guy. This might be the craziest pick ever, is what this list is telling me.
Yeah.
I'm completely reaching for this guy, so I don't know if I'm going to get laughed at for this.
I mean, the only thing you got to worry about is Kupp has a serious issue with injuries, getting injuries every year. Yeah. So, you know, but if you could stay healthy for majority of the year, I mean, he's going to miss a game or two. It's inevitable.
Before Puka got hurt, I mean, Stafford was feeding Kupp.
No,
still the man.
Kupp was just hurt.
But going into the draft, I was saying Kupp is better than Nacua. The fact Puka Nacua was ahead of him was just like so shows you how recency biased people like things are. Like,
Cooper Kupp is going to see 20 targets
this week. Dude.
20 targets.
He's a PPR machine.
And that's the other thing too, because I looked at this Rams offense and I picked the Rams to go far, as you know, from my predictions to go to the NFC title game. I like their offense. And yet, you know, with Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Stafford was low on the quarterback board. Why doesn't anybody like Stafford? I don't understand it.
I wanted him late.
He throws the ball all over the field. He's accurate. He's tough. Mm-hmm. And he's got Cooper Kupp, who gets open every play. Yeah.
And he's got Sean McVay calling plays. Yeah. I mean, that's a great offense.
Exactly.
Does anyone even have him in our league?
Yeah. Corey took him. I was going to take him last pick of the draft, and Corey with a great pick. Yeah,
he's very underrated, honestly. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. I feel like people forget that, even though it's very recent. Yeah. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks.
That's what I mean, man. Don't honest. And you don't think last year, you know, losing to Jared Goff hurt a little bit, obviously. And obviously week one. If I was betting, I would have bet the Rams that game. Stafford wanted some, you know, revenge. But listen, the stupid overtime rules, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, that could be another conversation for another day. But, I mean, to not even let them get an opportunity. I mean, I get people say the defense is your opportunity to win the game and stop. But let the other offense get an opportunity.
The Lions are just better, though.
Yeah.
You guys know off the top of your head who the number one quarterback is as far as fantasy football goes after week one?
Not Josh Allen.
Wait.
It's not Josh Allen.
I know the top two passers.
Josh Allen's number two.
Is it Sam Darnold?
It's not Sam Darnold.
Baker.
Baker Mayfield. He finished with the most fantasy points. Baker Mayfield. He threw 4 touchdown passes for the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
ESPN, he's 3.
Probably just slightly different.
Yeah, it depends on your scoring. Yeah. And then number one for running backs was Saquon Barkley with three touchdowns.
I had him in my 12-man, and I still didn't put up 100
Anthony
points.
Richardson's won in our league.
Really?
Is he really?
Yeah.
I think he scored 2 rushing touchdowns, that's why.
And wide receivers, Jaden Reed.
I wanted him bad.
And I wanted Waddle, too.
Cooper Kupp's number 2, Tyreek Hill number 3.
Tyreek should have been the first pick.
There's your top point getters for fantasy football in week 1.
If you took CMC in the first pick, you don't know ball, to be honest. I know it's hindsight, but like...
And it's hard not to.
Everybody did.
No, I know.
How many times did I say I won with him last year? He's not going to stay healthy again. Like, there's no chance.
I agree with you.
I seen in one draft, in one of my buddy's drafts, he put on his Snapchat story, McCaffrey went 7. I was like, wow, that's honestly where he should have went.
Some people were afraid of the injury.
100%.
And you just can't keep doing what he's doing every year, getting 350 touches and getting hit every play. I mean, and he's getting a little bit older and he's already had a history of injuries. I mean, it's just inevitable for him to miss games. But how about week 1, 90 minutes before the game, they're announcing that McCaffrey's not playing. The 49ers, they've done this slimy thing before. They're a little sneaky with this. I mean, you mean to tell me they didn't know?
No, they're going to get fired. Obviously, knew. They knew after what Jordan Mason said.
Yeah, after the game, they interviewed Mason, and it was a great question by the reporter. When did you know you were going to start? He's like, Friday.
I mean, but like...
Friday?
Are you like...
What?
Are you kidding me?
Like, I know you're like in the moment and stuff. Is that not like...
Not very smart.
That doesn't come to you?
Not very smart.
Like, if that was me, if I said Friday night right there, right away I would have... I'd been like, oh crap, I'm gonna stop. But he didn't like... He had no idea.
No, but the Niners, you know, they interviewed Shanahan.
Yeah, of course,
and
he said no, but...
He said the running backs coach were just trying to pump up Mason, so they told him he was starting and...
Yes.
There's no way to really prove it, so I don't know if they're going to get fined.
They should. They 100%.
They knew. Yeah, they knew. And now he's out again this week. Week 2, no McCaffrey. So anybody who picked him, obviously if you picked up Mason as a handcuff or a backup, you know, you're in good shape. But not every McCaffrey owner in fantasy football was smart enough to pick up Mason.
So he's definitely gone now, though, in all the leagues. But
yeah, for sure.
That'll wrap it up for episode 27 of the Elite Sports Debate podcast with Luke, Alex, and AJ Colella. Next week, we'll continue following the first place Phils and the division races around the MLB. We'll discuss the Eagles and week 2 of the NFL season and look ahead to week 3. You can follow me on Twitter at Luco_94.
And you can message me on Facebook at Alex Colella and also find me on Instagram. You can now subscribe to our all-new YouTube channel at Elite Sports Debate Podcast. Plus, check out the clips from our show on TikTok at ESD Podcast.
You can find all of our episodes of the ESD Podcast on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and on the Apple Podcast app. We'd like to thank All Serve Concrete and Construction, serving Summerdale and the South Jersey region for over 20 years. Call 856-716-6625 and visit them online at allserveconcreteconstructionnj.com. Thank you for listening. See you next week.